Okay, we're picking up from the top of Mem Amar Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'il Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov the Neshama Shemaliyah. So also today is the yard site of Eli Cohen, Hashem Yikom Demo. His family and his thoughts are always with us, even many years later. Died before even I was alive, but just hearing about him is Mesiras Nefesh for Klal Yisrael, for Am Yisrael. Should be Zeicha to have a Kavuras Yisrael, Bekarov Mamesh, and Mirza Hashem, Hashem Yikom Demo. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us his Neshama should also have an Aliyah. The Gemara tells us, "Bne'ila diyoma de Kippur." So when the Kahanim were giving the bracha of Ne'ila on Yom Kippur, my Amar, what does the everybody respond? Right, we just had the days of Tainus, we had the days of different special times on Musaf and Shabbos. The days here we're mentioning Yom Kippur. What would the Klal Yisrael respond while the Kahanim are saying the bracha? My Amar, we're going to see exactly what point, but that's what the Gemara is saying. My Amar. Amar Marzutra Amar Leib Menasnisa Hine Chen Yivarach Gever Yirei Hashem. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Yivarech Hashem Mitzion Urei B'Tuv Yishlaim Kamecheyecha. That's the second one. Urei Vanim Levanecha Shalom Al Yisrael. So the first one, the saying Hashem, person who fears Hashem is gets a bracha, and also Hashem should bless people from Tzion, and Hashem should look for and call yourself for the good all the days of our life of your life. Urei Vanim Levanecha Shalom Yisrael, and you're going to see children born to your children, maybe grandchildren, and Hashem will, and you'll have peace. Klal Yisrael should have peace. So the Gemara asks now, Heichan Omer, where do we respond with these brachas? Rav Yosef Omer, Bein Kol Bracha Bracha. He says them in between each bracha after the Yivarech Hashem Vishmarecha. So then he'll respond, Hinechen Yivarech Gever Yirei Hashem. Rav Sheshes Omer, Be'askaras Hashem. And Rav Sheshes says, while they're saying the name of Hashem, with right, Yivarech Hashem, that where you say Hashem there, Yod Kevavke, they'll now respond with this pasuk. Pligi Barav Mari Varav Zvir, Chadamar Psuke Lekabel Psuke. So one says that the people who are listening respond to each pasuk said by the Kohanim. Each one had three, right? There are three pasukim, so they would respond to each one. No, they said that in between each pasuk, they would say all three of these pasukim. All three, not just one of them. Anyone who says these pasukim and Birkas Kohanim outside, Gvulin is usually just everywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, he's making a mistake. You're not supposed to be doing it. It was only supposed to be said in honor of Rashi says the kavod of the Shema Mefurash, which was only said in the Beis HaMikdash, which is why we shouldn't say with these psukim, because we never say them. Unfortunately, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We're waiting for it to happen, but until then, we don't say them. But even in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not supposed to say the psukim. Is there a servant who's receiving a bracha from his master and he's not listening to it? It wouldn't be respectful to the master if we would be distracted by mentioning these psukim, and therefore we should not be mentioning them at all. Amar Rabacha Bar Chanina Teda Devigvule Nami Bay Leminu. That in also outside of the Beis HaMikdash we should say them. Klum Yesh Eved Shemvarchanos Avein Makir Panim. Is there ever an Eved, a servant who is not appreciated of the bracha that he gets? So you should show that you're appreciative of it, and therefore you should be saying these pesukim. Amar Abayu Mereish Avein Menelahu Kevin Dechazinu Rabbi Abayu Deminako Delo Amar Lahu Anami Laminu. So first I thought maybe we should say them, but then I saw Rabbi Abayu Minako who doesn't say them, so therefore I did not say them either. And that's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch tells us that they should not be any saying any psukim, we should just be listening to Birkas Kohanim. The Ramah points out that we have the minug to say a tefillah while the Kohanim are singing, which is only when the Kohanim are singing. If we have, like in Eretz Yisrael, when they never sing, which actually bothers me, even if you go to an Eretz Yisrael minhag, they also don't sing on the Yamim Tovim. We should be singing at least on Yamim Tovim, so to say the tefillah that about the dreams. The Tosfos already point this out also. Dibra Maschil Kolam Begvulin and Eletoa, that is not talking about the thing of dreams. That specifically, Mishum Sakara, the Gemara Brachos of Daf Nun Hei Amar Beis tells us that we are allowed to say the special tefillah to uproot our dreams and make them to be good dreams. And the whole idea of saying them through on the Yomim Tovim, as the Magen Avraham explains, is because it definitely can't be that you didn't go with from one Shalosh Regalim to other Shalosh Regalim without having a bad dream. So therefore, we want to uproot all those dreams and make them good, and that's why we say them on the Yomim Tovim. So that's what I was bothered by in Eretz Yisrael. why they don't sing. I pushed actually that the minion I was in was an Eretz Yisrael minion. And kind of like, what? I was like, no, you should sing. And Baruch Hashem, I got them on this Pesach. They sing the, at least for only one of them. They don't do all three, but they, at least I got one. Got the tefillin. Okay. Now the Gemara continues discussing. Once we mentioned Rabbi Abahu Minako, so the Gemara continues. Rabbi Abahu. I used to think that I was a humble person. So I thought about it myself. Like, oh, yeah, you have to know where you are. He thought it was like Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's humility knows no bounds. Rav Moshe Feinstein. And I heard this story. I didn't actually confirm it ever, but I always heard that Rav Moshe, when he was getting a stent put in, he was very concerned. He was very, very concerned. And his son-in-law, David Tendler, was asking him, Moshe David Tendler, was asking him why he was so concerned. You know, it's a basic operation. The Chazal not like a lack of emunah, he had a lot of emunah. So he told him that he was very concerned that at the end of the day, that he was going to, if this was going to create a moment in his body, and he knows that he's going to be on the Sanhedrin, if the Mashiach would come, he's going to be puzzled to be on the Sanhedrin. So he knew his standing, but that doesn't change who he was. Rav Moshe was the most humble person in the world. People who insulted him, he did the biggest tovas. There's a story I just heard also about him, that there was a person who spoke really badly, who wrote a whole article about it in one of these Torah journals. It used to be more popular nowadays than Wayu puts one out every year, but I'm saying I don't know how many people are reading them. But anyway, there's the Torah journals are a very popular thing. So one wrote like ripping Rav Moshe, also like got personal in his attacks of him. Very, very insulting. Mamish, very, very insulting thing. And he never apologized. Really, really, the family was very hurt by what he said. He never apologized. Years later, like three, five, 6 years later, he comes to Rav Moshe, and he was in trouble with the law. Obviously not the most person. He also went around it, and being honest, so he had like tax evasion things. He had issues with taxes, and he was going to potentially go to jail. So the person heard that the judge, I think it was a non-Jewish judge, had so much respect for Rav Moshe. He met him once, and he even through a translator, he realized the galus Rav Moshe, this non-Jewish judge, so he's the one presiding over his case, that if Rav Moshe would write a letter of recommendation saying this person is a good person and he made a mistake, and this letter of recommendation, it could be that he won't get jail time. So Rav Moshe, without a second, didn't even think twice. The person never even apologized while he was there. Takes his letter and writes him the nicest letter for this guy. And the Rebbetzin sees him walking out. She goes to Rav Moshe. Finally, this guy apologized to him and says, no, he was just asking me to do a Torah. He's like, I hope you didn't help him. And he said, of course, he was in trouble. I needed to help him. That was Rav Moshe's anava and not holding anything. No grudges, no nothing. And yet, obviously, he realized where he was. So here also, why I mentioned him, because he said, I used to think that I was humble. So you have to know where you are. He thought he was a humble person, not entitled to anything. He thought he was humble. So then I saw Rabbi Abba Minako, who's such a gadol dor. And he was saying an explanation. They used to have a miturgaman who would say it out loud so everybody could hear him. And he wasn't even explaining. He wasn't translating what he said and saying it out loud. He was just saying his own pshat. And he would say, obviously, it wasn't something which was wrong. Maybe it was even something which is better. But still, the little cup, Rabbi Abba, didn't take offense to it. He didn't yell out at the guy for saying the wrong thing. He obviously, it had to be something, again, that makes sense. And Rashab points this out. It can't be something that was completely wrong that he would disagree with, because then you have to correct the guy. But still, Amin Allah Anvas in Nisana. So therefore, by that, I realized that if that was his standards of not getting upset, then I clearly am not somebody who is really a truly humble person. So now the Gemara continues, in my Anvasunis de Rebbe. So what was an example of Rebbe's own humility? So the wife of the miturgaman, of the speaker for Rabbi Abahu, once told Rabbi Abahu's wife, so the wives were talking, my husband doesn't even need her husband to tell him what to say, because he could give the shir himself. So he like bends down to listen to Rabbi Abahu, is telling him, is only Yakra B'Alma Udevet. He's just doing it to be nice to Rabbi Abahu, but really, he should be giving the shir. Your husband's nothing. My husband's much better than your husband. So she probably, I'm sure the husband probably told him this, and she said to Rabbi Abahu about the disrespect that this wife had told Rabbi Abahu. Amar La, so he said to her, "My nafkalach mina, what difference does it make to you? Either through me or through him, let the Kosh Baruch Hu be praised. Who cares?" So again, obviously this was a test for Rabbi Abahu, but Rabbi Abahu, why was this lower? Because Rabbi Abahu wasn't actually directly insulted by the Miturgaman himself, and also not in public. Other people heard that he was saying different things than he said. Here, it was just the wife explaining how he felt, how the husband felt, greater than Rabbi Abahu, and that was less of a slight to his kavod, that he didn't feel he was on the same level, that he didn't feel like he was on the same level as a Rabbi Abba de Min Akko. Okay, so now the Gemara says more Vesu. And further, Rabbi Abba Amina Rabbanan Leila Mimna Beresha. Rabbi Abba was chosen by the Rabbanan to be the Rosh Hashiva of the entire base Medrash. Rekevan de Chazi, the Rabbi Abba de Min Akko, the Nafisha Le Baal Echoivas. Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Abba was very many deaths. He was a big Talmud Chacham also. He could have been the Rosh Hashiva. Amalu Ikar Rabba, because they used to give a lot of money to the Rosh Hashiva, so it should be befitting that the Rosh Hashiva should be very wealthy, so people would respect him. They shouldn't need other people's donations, etc. So therefore, that the people would pay all his bills and all his halvos if he would be the Rosh Hashiva. So therefore, he decided that he told them that there's somebody else who's more fitting to be the Rosh Hashiva. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chia, Barabba Iklu Lulay Asra. They went to a certain place. Rabbi Abba Darsh Bagadat. Rabbi Abba was giving a shir in a garata. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Darsh Bishmaita, and he was giving halachic halacha shir. Shavkua Kalei Alma Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Ve'azil Legabe Rabbi Abba. So everybody left the shir of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, and they went to the shir of Rabbi Abba. So it doesn't imply that they left earlier. It says it just seems to say that a lot less people attended the shir on the halacha than the shir of the gata. Chalash Daise, Chia Bar Abba was starting to feel, you know, bad about himself. Maybe I don't give a good shir, maybe I should stop giving shir. Amrlay, so Rabbi Abba said to him, Amshalcha Mashal, I'll give you a mashal. Lamad Dev Adam, what is it similar to? L'shnei B'nei Adam. There was two people, Echad Mocher Avonim Tovos, V'Echad Mocher Minei Sidkis. If one of them is selling very precious stones, very expensive, the other one is selling like something very, you know, small and not non-significant, like pins or needles. Almikotzin, who are the buyers going to go buy from? The one who's selling the cheap stuff. They can't afford these fancy stones, these like diamonds and things of the like. So therefore, that's why people come to the small one. So that was an imshal, is that my shir nagarata is very easy. Everybody can understand it. It's an easy shir to go to. You don't have to work hard to understand what I'm saying. So therefore, a lot of people are going. You give a shir nalacha, which is a lot harder to understand, which is why you have less people going. Don't feel badly. It wasn't in the nature of the shir. It was much more just the content of what was being discussed, and you had a harder thing to deliver, and that's why less people were coming to your shir. Shetar always likes to say the story in shir about the time where the Netziv and Reb Chaim Soloveitchik were giving shir. So everyone started to flock to the shir. They were giving the shir at the same time in Volozhin. So in the Volozhin Yeshiva. So what happened was that people started flocking to Reb Chaim Shir and not really attending as much to the Netziv Shir, because you know Reb Chaim was a famous Reb Chaim, which changed the whole Derech HaLimud of Kal Yisrael. So what happened was Reb Chaim felt very badly that people weren't going to the Netziv Shir. So basically he gave a shir. The way the story goes is that he gave a shir, like a really Yishmak Ashir, Lamdash Ashir, amazing with the Kasha and Terutzim and giving a whole thing. And then he told everybody, this is just a piece of the Netziv. This is the Netziv wrote up this Shikol Torah. I took everything from the Netziv. So everybody should be attending his shir also. Don't just, you don't go to my shir, go to his shir. His shir is an amazing shir and propping up the Netziv shir. And the most amazing part about, for me, the story, that's the way the story ends. Then Rosh Shechter goes on to say which piece in the Netziv he thinks that the Rav Chaim gave shir on, because those are the only two pieces that make sense, because that's where Rav Chaim and the Netziv have the same idea, basically saying the same vort, and they're coming on to the same conclusion. So, first let's realize the galus Rav Shechter for that story, that he has to know cold the entire Rav Chaim and know cold the entire Netziv, and to be able to tell you which one he thinks the story was, what must have been talking about. I think it was the case of Orla, but I could be wrong. And that's how Rav Shechter always says the story. So it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, Maisa, but I get more of it that way. Rav Shechter's humility it must have been that this is what they were talking about. No one ever told us that part of the story is not mentioned. Rav Shechter just says it because that's the piece that Rav Chaim and the Netziv are the same. Anyway, fascinating story. Now the Gemara is called Yom So every day, Reb Chia Bar Abba would accompany Rabbi Abba to his house. Because the Caesar respected him also, so that's why he used to do that. So Rabbi Abba accompanied Rabbi Chia Bar Abba to his house and trying to give him chizuk. Still, he never felt good about himself. He was still sad about what had happened. Now the Gemara continues discussing another point, because we mentioned what were people up to modim and getting up to Ratzeh, so we mentioned also, what do you do when the Shiach Tzibur is up to modim? Ha'am mahim omrim. What do the people say? Amar Rav. Rav says, modim anach lalach Hashem lakina al shem odim lach. That's what Rav says that one should be saying. Ushmuel Amar, Elokei kol basar al she'anu modim lach. That you're Elokei kol basar, Hashem, the God of all flesh. We thank you very much. Rabbi Simai Omer, Yotzreinu Yotzei Bereishis al she'anu modim lach. You are also the founder of creation, and we give thanks to you. Ne'ardai amrei mishmein Rabbi Simai brachos odois Hashemcha God of all kodosh al she'chasanu v'kibtanu al she'anu modim lach. That we thank you. Rav Acha bar Yaakov from Mishmehachi says the following: "Came to Chayenu Sechanenu, so too should keep us alive and find favor in us. To continue with us, because Hashem lechasus kuchecha lishmar chokecha v'lasus nechavdar shalom al she'anu modim lach." That is the tefillah that we say. There's different gears, obviously, and that's why the different neschos have it differently. Because Amar Rapapa hilkach nemeru lekulu. Rapapa is trying to make shalom. He's always famous for that. Rapapa says, therefore, we should say all of them, which is what we do. We say modim lach Hashem lekenu yatzinu tibrishis. Right, and then we continue saying brachos dos shem hakadosh ashechadim v'tem kent chayenu lasus brachos lishu kachalasus nachadadach shem brach kelo dos. We say all of these combined nuschos, which is, by the way, the reason that it's called modim derabanan is because, not because it's a din derabanan, it's because the rabbanan are multiple rabbanan, the one who composed this tefillah. So therefore, there are multiple rabbanan composed this tefillah. That's why we call it modim derabanan. That's why the Beis Yosef explains why it's called modim derabanan. Just be noted that an interesting explanation I just recently came across is that I think the Ian Tefillah writes, it's called Modim Derabanan because to make a chilek, that really the nusach of the Shemona Esrei was Anshe Knesset HaGadola, Behem Kamen Neviim Loshon of the Gemara. So they say that Tefillah here is Amoraim, they're on a lower level. So just know that this is composed by a different group of Rebbeim. Okay, fascinating point. Just two more ha'aras on the concept of this modem. There's a famous idea. Why is it we're listening to Chazar Shashatz? I'm listening to all the Chazar Shashatz. I just say Baruch Hu Roshmo. Shai, the way you say Baruch Hu Roshmo, Chazar Shashatz, the Grachim is in that, but okay. Everyone, the Minhag Olam, we definitely say Baruch Hu Roshmo. I say Amen. Everyone agrees. You say Amen to all the brachos. Wonderful. So I say brachos to all. I say Amen to all the brachos of the Shemona Esrei. Why is it that by my modem, and I'm Shomei Kaona, the rest of the Shleach Tibor's Shemona Esrei, why is it that all of a sudden when it comes to modim, I have to say my own tefillah in the middle while the chazan's saying the tefillah? Why can't I just be able to shemeka one through the chazan's repetition, just like the rest of Shemona Esrei? So there's a very beautiful idea from the Abu Jaham. It's pretty famous. The Abu Jaham explains that when it comes to all the rest of the tefillah, everything else, asking Hashem for das, asking Hashem to do tshuva, asking Hashem for forgiveness, that all of those things a person could do through having a shaliach do it on his behalf. However, when it comes to thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanking Hashem, you can't do that by sending somebody else. You can't have somebody else thank Hashem. You need to personally thank Hashem. If you don't, you're not Yotze. That's not the idea. You must be thanking Hashem. That's a beautiful idea from the Abu Jaham, which for years I thought was a great, beautiful idea. But l'chora, I have a raya that we don't necessarily paskin like that idea, because we paskin, and I think the Chida brings down, I think it's quoted by the Akronim, that if a person doesn't know how to daven, so then he's mamish being yotze. Nowadays, right, we already yotze our silent Shemona Esrei. We just do chazar shatz for Birkas Kohen, and we say it for Kedusha. To be yotze the extra idea of the maila of tefillas, or the Rav coined hatzibor, we say Birkas chazar shatz. But what about if a person actually mamish doesn't know the davening, and he wants to be yotze with the shleach tzibor, his davening for real, not like the old times where people didn't know how to daven, he wants to be yotze. So the Akronim bring down, which is quoted the halacha, is that he has to, right, you don't say Baruch HaRoshmo, he just says Amen to every bracha, and he has to have in mind to be yotze with the shleach tzibor, and the shleach tzibor has in mind to be motzim. But also when it comes to modim, there actually it's brought down that he stays quiet. So l'chora, I have a tzarech iyun on this pshat l'halacha, l'chora, we don't, it's a beautiful idea, but l'chora, we don't, because if we really would say like the Avu Jaham ad hasof, then we should say that even a person who doesn't understand it, right, in his own language or something, should have to, while the chazan is saying modim, should have to say some other form of modim in order to be yotze, if we hold like the Avu Jaham the full way, to go the whole nine hands with him. Anyway, that's another point, and it's also another point is that the Yerushalmi actually ends off with another, with Baruch Atah Hashem Kel HaHodos. That we say Baruch Atah Hashem Kel HaHodos, that's how the Yerushalmi ends off. Now, since the Bavli never mentions it, so therefore the Beis Yosef points out that Lechora, we disagree at Lehalacha, and we don't paskin like the Yerushalmi. But as a Pshara, we mention Baruch Kel HaHodos. We say Baruch Kel HaHodos without saying the Shem Hashem. That's one point, and Rav Moshe had a fascinating nafkamina to this, is that the Ramah writes that the minag is, one should do, is that minag seems to be just like the grudge, just the bow for the modim and achalach, and that's it, or some do tchila v'sof, about the beginning and the end of modim, I think Rav Shechter does that, but the others do this, Rav Nevin Tzolai, I see, bows the whole modim and achalach, and you stay bowed the whole time till the end of modim. So the shaila is, where does modim end? So Moshe writes that really modim ends before Baruch Kelo does, because we hold that it ends before Baruch Kelo does. Sure, just to be yotzei and to mention the Yerushalmi is Baruch Kelo does, we'll mention it. But really, according to the Balvi, it ends before Baruch Kelo does. So you could already pick up your head before Baruch Kelo does. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. That's also Rav Moshe, another similar chiddush to Borei Nefashos, that we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Nefashos Rabos Chesed Nan Al Kol Ma Shebara L'Chayos Behem Nefesh Kol Chay. Then we end off Baruch Chei Olamim. Why do we say Baruch Chei Olamim? I don't say Baruch Atah Hashem Chei Olamim. So actually, Yerushalmi has a nesach of Baruch Atah Hashem Chei Olamim, which is how the Gra seem to pass. And I think those Zilberminers who follow like everything in regard, I think they do this. They might be the only ones. They end up Baruch Atah Hashem Chei Olamim. Could be wrong, but I think they would say it with Shem Hashem. But we don't say Shem Hashem. So Moshe said, because that's what Yerushalmi says. The Balvi doesn't mention Baruch Chei Olamim, so we don't mention it as a bracha. So Moshe held that if a person's listening to Baruch Nefashos, he should answer Amen before Baruch Chei Olamim, because really Bracha ends there, and he holds that you should end. That's enough. Good. Moshe held that you should say Amen there. Fascinating Chiddush from Rav Moshe. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Biyitzchak L'olam Tei Emas Tzibur Alecha, that the person should always have the fear of the Kehila in front of him. Sharei Kohanim, the Kohanim were giving a bracha, Pneim Klapei Am Vachareim Klapei Shechina. That even a Kodesh Baruch Hu is there, yet they show their reverence and their fear, Kilu, their awe of the Tzibur by facing them and not the Shechina. They Kilu turn their backs on the Aron, which obviously would be something normally would be disrespectful, but here that is warranted. Rav Nachman Amar Mehacha Vayikam David Amelach Aragla Vayomer Shemuni Achai Vami. That when David HaMelech said to Klal Yisrael, he said, listen, my brothers and my people, why is he calling them both Lashonos? If it's his brothers, so then they're like his friends, why are you calling them my people? People who are, sounds like my am, like you're my subjects. Like I'm in charge, I'm the king, you guys are my subjects. And if you guys are my people, why did you mention my brothers? Amar Belazar, Amar Lam David HaMelech, David Yisrael, the following. If you guys are going to listen to me and are serving Hashem, Achai Atem, then you're my brothers. But if you don't listen to me, Ami Atem, Va'ani Rodes, Chem B'Makel, then you're going to be like my subjects, in which case I am your king, and I'm in charge of you, and I'm going to really make your life miserable and hit you with the rod, as long as you're not doing Ratzon Hashem. So that's what we see, that David HaMelech was addressing the people, originally trying to be in a state of Ki'ilu, fear of them, but not wanting to lead the conflict. So we see that David HaMelech, and even that, the Meiri points out that even though David HaMelech was in awe of his people, still he ended off with the last sentence. He said, listen, you don't listen up, I'm going to have to make a big macha and step up. We see also there that a Rav can't be too scared of his Kehila, because the Gemara says if a Rav was liked by everybody, then there's a bad sign, because he never gave them Musar, he never told them, you know, like, you guys are violating certain things, you have to be careful about this halacha, that halacha. And we have to obviously pick his battle. What's the more important can't be everything, but the Rav has to also stand firm to his principles and to the halacha. The Rabbanan say from over here, the Kohanim are not permitted to do duchening with their sandals. These are one of the nine takanas Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made. My time out, La Mishum Kavara Tzibur. Why would Rabbi Yochanan make this takana that they shouldn't go up with their sandals? The Chora, it's not appropriate. Why was it not appropriate? So Rashi explains, because when they're raising their hands, so their garments would lift up a little bit. They used to have like more of like a dress. It's not like we wear our pants. It's like more of a dress-like thing, in which case their sandals would be exposed when they would be Mevarach Klal Yisrael. And if that would happen, apparently their sandals had, Rashi says, like there's mud and dirt on it, and would it be kavadik to go up with the sandals. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, no, a different reason. Hasam shemanizika lo ritzua b'sandelo. So therefore, no. It maybe his shoelaces, his straps and his shoes are going to be torn. V'hadar azal l'miktarei. So he's going to go back and try to tie them in order to fix them. And he wants to recite Birkas Kohanim. And what's going to happen? Well, they bring Grusha Mechlutzah. He's going to miss the Birkas Kohanim. So they're going to explain. They're going to say, oh, this guy must have been not kosher to be a Kayan. That's what happened. That's why he suddenly stopped. And therefore, they're going to accuse him of being a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutzah. So that's why it's a low plug that because of that, the Kohanim are not supposed to wear shoes when doing Duchening. It should be noted that Mishabur points out that nowadays, where going barefoot is not considered a nice thing, so it would also be inappropriate to go barefoot by doing the duchening. And obviously in a keila where some people wear sandals, and they're fine going in front of a king in sandals, so maybe for them it would be different, but that's what Mishra points out, and we should not be going up. There is a minog, I think I've seen amongst Syrians before, I'm not exactly sure what their heter is, what they're relying on, but Lamaisa, I believe they hold that that for whatever reason you're allowed to wear shoes. It seems to be a beferish takana. I'm not exactly sure what the reason is. I didn't have a chance to look into it, but I've seen it before. I've seen like Assyrians go up to Duchan in their shoes, which is very strange. It seems to be a beferish in the world here. I'm not sure. I'm sure there is a heter. I'm sure there's a masorah that they have. I don't know why they do that. Now the Gemara goes right there. Mikdash bracha achas. The base of Mikdash, the Kohen says one bracha. So the Gemara says, v'kol kach lama. Why is there such a difference between 3 versus 1 in the base of Mikdash versus after the base of Mikdash? But the Gemara says, v'lefish ain on in amen Mikdash, because they don't respond amen in the base of Mikdash. Therefore, there's no reason that they have to pause. Which Tosfos asked Baam Kasha, says, what exactly mean? Amen is a short answer. I understand why they're saying amen. What do they have to respond? They have to respond in the base of Mikdash, Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuso Le'olam Vaed. And that's much longer than simply saying amen when they heard the Shem Hashem. So how could it be that when it came to saying this, that Lechora, if they're saying this in between the psukim, that would be even longer. So what exactly does this mean? So Tosos basically come on to an answer that when they say Baruch Shem Kavod, that was not said after it must have not been said after the Birkas Kohanim. Only mentioned when it was mentioned in the course of maybe a bracha or something else, but not, they don't need to pause because they weren't mentioned in Baruch Shem Kavod. That's Tosos says as possible suggestion to that very big kasha. Now the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, Minayin Shein Onam HaMebekdash. Where do we see that we don't say Amen? Where do we know that we don't say Amen in the base of Mikdash? So it says, Gemara Akumu, Shenemar Akumu Baruch Hu Hashem Elokeichem Min Ha'olam V'ad Ha'olam. The pasuk says, go rise up and bless Hashem from this world until the next world, and B'mavarach, the glory of Hashem. And therefore we learn from there that that's referring to the base of Mikdash, and we should be saying the Baruch Shem Kivon Malchusoyed, the Olam V'ad. The Gemara says, Amenayin Shal Kabracha Bracha Tehila. They responded with some sort of that they would say, how do we know that we say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam Ve'ed? Shneimar V'Baruch Hashem Kivodecha Umeroma Malkol Brachos Tehila. Alkol Bracha Bracha Tein Lo Tehila. Upon each and every bracha, you should give HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise, and that praise or understanding is the Baruch Shem Kivod Malchus Olam Ve'ed that's mentioned on every bracha. Okay, now the mission is continuing. Once we're mentioning the idea of the Kohen Gadol, so we're going to be in Lashon Kodesh. Now the mission is discussing different things that happen in the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Brachos Kohen Ketzad. What ways do they have Birkas Kohen? The Birkas Kohen Gadol, rather. Chazan HaKnesses, Notel Sefer HaTorah. So the Chazan HaKnesses would be taking the Sefer Torah. There was a shul. There wasn't just like a gabbai in the shul. In the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a shul. Imagine like a little shtiebel in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. People used to daven there. You know, people in the Beis HaMikdash riding the shtiebel. That's that we see. There was a shtiebel over there. So he was the Chazan. He was in charge of the shul, like the gabbai, the shamish of the shul. So Chazan HaKnesses, Notel Sefer Torah, V'notel LeRosh HaKnesses. And then the Rosh, so then they would give the Rosh HaKnesses, the person in charge of the decisions in the shul. Okay, so that's what his job was. Rosh HaKnesses, not the Sgan. The Rosh HaKnesses would give it to the Sgan, is the Sgan Kohen Gadol. The Sgan is the second Kohen Gadol. In the case of any psul happened to the Kohen Gadol, he would take over. Vaskan, then Sgan was all passing the Torah. Vaskan, not the Kohen Gadol. And finally, the Sgan gives it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Omer HaMekabel, he accepts the Torah. The Yerushalmi has a very big kasha. The Yerushalmi says, this is the Kavod of Sefer Torah. There's an idea that a person does there's an idea that Sefer Torah doesn't come to you. You have to go to the Sefer Torah, which is a whole idea of moving the Sefer Torah. It's a big shaila. Not really allowed to just, for a minion's sake, you're not allowed just to take a Torah and move it outside the shul and put it some random during COVID. This was a big shaila. How to do this? What the heter was, it was discussed with the Orhat here. But that's a big shaila. Taking a Sefer out of it when you go on a trip somewhere. These are all big shailas. Not so push it to, if you read from it a few times, if you're going to have a designated place, there's different heterim, but Ba'etzem, you're not supposed to be moving it. So the Yerushalmi answers that since the Kohen Gadol is such a great person, and also a Melech, we do this for the Melech as well, then it is covered a Torah for them, to the Torah be brought for them. So I think based on this, I don't have the chance to double check, but I'm pretty sure in Shulchan Aruch we quote that this is a heter, that if generally we don't bring a safer Torah, like someone in prison and things like that, there's not really a heter unless it's going to be lain from or have a designated place. One of the heterim, besides for the idea of having maybe a makom and a dal tfachim that you could leave it in, or if you lane from it more than 3 times, if you're going to be laning from it, or I think it's just a day actually, it doesn't have to be 3 times, just maybe 24 hours, whatever it is, you'll be laning from it. So then, and it'll be saved in the same place. So another heter is if it's a big talmud chacham. It's a big talmud chacham or big talmud chacham, then you have this heter of sumer to the Kohen Gadol that the Yerushalmi quotes. Others say, no, it was only mamish like the Kohen Gadol, the highest level, just to stay stam talmud chacham might not be in that category. I don't remember, I thought in Shulchan Aruch or Mekel, but I didn't have a chance to double check. The Korah Akhremos Achbes. Source of the Kohen Gadol reads Akhremos and Achbes. So there's a psukim in, we just read them, Parshas Akhremos. Those are dealing with the avoda of Yom Kippur. The golel is the Torah manicha b'cheikos, and he rolls up the Torah and he and he holds it in his stomach, right? So he holds it against his sister so much it's a chaviv to him. More than I have read is written here, meaning it's not a puzzle sefer Torah, because we're about to see. He's about to read now from Bamidbar. And what happens if Esther from Chodesh Avakudim Korah Alpe? He reads that by heart. Why does he read it by heart? Because it's going to be a big tircha de tzibur for the tzibur to have to wait till he rolls the entire thing up to for the maftir, which is a very big shaila, by the way. It's important how maftir you have to be about having a two svarim and have it rolled in the right place. Is that the Rishonim bring up a suggestion that maybe if you only have one Torah, maybe you should be saying maftir baal peh. Just like the Kohen Gadol. So he said, no, maybe it was just the Kohen Gadol. It'd be different. And others say the same thing also. If the Sefer Torah is rolled to the wrong place, maybe you should also, again, there's all suggestions are rejected. My point is, we see even the Havami now, how strong Tircha de Tzibur is. You have to really make sure for the Gabbai that the Torahs are rolled to the right place. So that's the Havamina based on this Mishnah over here. Baruch Aleh Shmona Brachas. He says eight different Brachas. Ala Torah. He says a Bracha per Torah. The Bracha per Torah is a Shernasalana Torah Sames. So why doesn't he count the first one? And Rashi did mention that we're not counting the bracha before it. V'ala avoda, but he does say bracha before reading the Torah also. Ala avoda is rete. That's the davening. And then he ended off, not like we say, but the way some conclude, she'oscha levadcha b'yir navod. For you alone, we serve with awe and fear. That's the bracha which we say on Yontif. The Grau didn't like changing the nusach, but that's the minag mani ashkenazim. We change it to that nusach, but that was the bracha that the Kohen Gadol said. V'ala edaya. And for that's hodaya is a reference to Zevach Tov Yechabdeni and saying thank you to Hashem Ve'al Mechila Sa'avon. That's the bracha on Yom Kippur that we say, right? Melech Soleach La'avon Zamub Yisrael Ve'al Mikdash, and says the bracha of Asher Bachar B'Mikdash. That's the bracha he said according to Rashi Ve'al Yisrael, and the bracha is Baruch HaBocher B'Mo Yisrael. And then the bracha as Ala Kohanim, also he would say Baruch Shabachar B'Zaro Shel Aaron. That was part of this bracha Ve'al Yishalayim, and he would say Habo and the rest of the davening. Somebody gives Valshar Hatfila, Baruch Shabbat Tfila, exactly what that is, but that's the din of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Shmamina, Cholkin Kovo, the Talmud, welcome around. We see over here that there's a Shaila about this in the Gemara Bava Basra, whether or not if you have a Talmud who is standing before one of his rabbis, but not the main rabbi, like there's a greater one than him. So then, is he allowed to be chole kavod? Is he allowed to give him kavod to that rabbi, like let's say in Shiva where Rav Neventhal is giving shir? So to be chalek to your shir tomorrow, said rabbi, is a nice thing. But when Rav Neventhal is there, are you allowed to be chole kavod to your rabbi in the presence of a bigger talmud chacham? So the Gemara says we see that over here that you are allowed to, because over here from the fact that the Sefer Torah was not given directly to the Kohen Gadol, but he would first give the kavod to the chazan, and then that person gives it to the skan. So you're bechavit them by touching the Sefer Torah and giving it to them. So the Gemara says, Amar Bai, no, kula mashim kavod to Kohen Gadol. That's not an answer. It was all over here. It was all part of the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. So that was what the Kohen Gadol was doing. So the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says the Kohen Gadol omed mekabel v'korah. The Kohen Gadol was the next part of the Mishnah tells us that the Kohen Gadol was standing up to receive the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says omed. What do you mean mekabel yoshivu? He was sitting before that. But the Gemara says v'amar mar ein yeshiva bazar. Not allowed to sit in the azara of the Beis Hamikdash. Elo l'malchah Beis David bilvad. Only the kings from David and Melech are allowed to sit. Shneimar v'yavo Melech David v'yeshiv from Hashem v'amar mi'anochi. Who said who am I? So then how is the Kohen Gadol able to sit? We see only a malchus Beis David are allowed to be sitting in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says, "Kedamar of Chista be'Ezras Nashim." No, in the Ezras Nashim, it didn't have the same kedusha as the Azara, and therefore, Hachanavi Ezras Nashim. That therefore, they were the Kohen Gadol wasn't found allowed. That's where they were reading, and he was allowed to sit in the Azara. It wouldn't be a problem for him to sit in that area. It wasn't as kadosh as the Ezras Nashim. If I said Azara before, I was wrong. The Ezras Nashim is not as kadosh as the Azara. Okay, but Ezras Nashim, we'll pick up with the Meisivei in tomorrow's stuff.